time for my LA sisters.
Got the spot open up one time.
I found patience is a virtue. One and now got.
When push came to shove.
One what?
One love.
One love. One love. One love. One love. One love.
It's officially season 3 of Day One Lifestyle Friends, the podcast. As always, I'm here at the main man, the Muffin Man 3-2. Welcome back.
Yiddy!
It's been a minute. You know, it's definitely been a minute.
Yeah.
But we hope everyone had a, you know, great holiday season. Started off the year strong. Even if you didn't start off the year strong, like us, you still got 11 months left. 11 out of 12 ain't bad.
That's not a bad free throw percentage, man. I'll take that any day.
11 out of 12 anything.
For our first time listeners, Muff, where can they find us at?
Man, you can find us on Twitter, Day the Number One Lifestyle. Follow us on Instagram, aka IG, same thing, Day One Lifestyle. And that's where we're going to drop everything at, man. Soon enough, we got more things coming, though. You'll be able to find all of our content in one unique place.
Yep, for our first-time listeners, thank you for tuning in. If you don't know, we talk hoops, food, music, and everything in between. And, of course, our Day One listeners know this, but we want to give a big shout-out to you for rocking with us and understanding our little vacation time that we like to take here and there. Before we start, though, Muff, it is a new season, but what's one episode that you would suggest the listeners to go check out in the archive?
Honestly, I have a lot of favorite ones. It's always hard to choose because, you know, we have so much fun doing this, but for new listeners, a good one to check out will be episode 40. That one we had N1 designer Ryan Holler on.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. He actually just designed the N1 Attack 2.0, which is the recent shoe for Toronto Raptor guard Fred VanVleet. And he's coming off a tremendous season in the finals last year, and he's playing well this year. And he actually had the lines wrapped around the corner, you know, for the release. So
I saw that.
Ryan was also able to go out to Toronto for that. So, you know, of course, he made the shoe, so we got to talk about the shoe and, you know, just go a little bit more in depth about it. But, you know, it's really cool to see, and especially if you like basketball. I think that was a real fun one to check out. What would you say, G?
I got to piggyback off that. That is a great one. I was really happy that we got that one in, and Ryan was a very cool dude. But those photos I did get to see in Toronto were pretty sick just because, like you said, the weather was terrible, as you can imagine, in Toronto during the wintertime, and people were just wrapped around the corner. And Ryan was on the panel, and VanVleet, everyone was pumped to see VanVleet. And I don't know if you remember, man, Curry called the switch last year on VanVleet, and that guy's been balling since. So, like you said, I think that's a great pick if you're a first-time listener. For me, I'm going to go episode 37 featuring friend of the show, our guy Neek Attack, Nico Catalano.
Big Neek.
Yeah, shout out to Neek. Mix and master and guru. Music, just lover, and very good mentor, I would say, in the game and in the industry. I want to say his success, and then also just with people around him and people that something's good about the first crib that they moved out there with him and Arizona Zervis. Arizona, shout out to him also for having the number one song on Spotify. It's crazy, man.
100%.
Seeing him perform shows in Hagerstown going back in the day, and now I just saw him performing about an 18,000 arena. That was pretty cool to see. So I think that episode, it was really fun. If you're into the music industry at all, we got to talk to Nico about the mix and mastering and the process sometimes around a song and some of the things that he's working on. And also, like I said, being a friend of the show, we were just cutting the crap on it, just shooting the shit. So if you got to check it out, I would check that one out. That was episode 37, I think.
Yeah, that was definitely a fun episode. Always nice to chop it up, no pun intended, with, you know, mix and master legend Nico. So, yeah, that's definitely a good episode, too. And, you know, to go on that, we definitely got some more new content coming, man. Those are great episodes, but a whole bunch of new material coming, man.
And I know you guys probably are wondering, why did we decide to go away during the favorite time of our year, the hoop season? But, you know, we got some nice weeks ahead. Like you said, Muff, March Madness. We got about 6-7 weeks before that comes around, and we got some nice hoops guests lined up.
For sure, yeah. We definitely want to, you know, keep it consistent with what we already do, you know, food, music, pretty much everything in between, but we also want to mix in some new material. That way, you know, we can just keep growing and evolving as a podcast and, you know, not only, you know, keep our current, you know, friends and family and whoever else listens, you know, tuned in, but to bring on some new guests and start to expand a little bit.
And I feel like it's only right that, you know, we touch on this just for a short moment, but I feel like it's only right that we show respect and prayer, since we haven't been on yet in a while, to the late Kobe Bryant, G.R. Bryant, and everyone involved in that tragic event that happened earlier this month. I know how much he meant to us, and like I said, just being an icon on the court and off the court, I'm still honestly in shock about that.
Yeah, man, it was crazy. Like, I was actually just driving, and the ESPN thing came across my the top of my phone. I pulled over. I'm like, no way, this is real, man. But, like, you know, as everything just settled, I'm like, man, it's crazy. Not only, you know, that it actually happened, but, like, how it happened, you know, with his daughter and with the other families, all headed to do something that they really enjoyed doing, which is, you know, playing basketball. And, you know, for the kids, they really loved that. To see that they were, you know, headed there, it sucks. And then for the parents, just being parents, being there with their family, man, I couldn't even imagine. So, you know, it's tragic.
I just didn't want to believe it. Like you said, I saw it. You called me. I got a couple other texts, and I was just sitting there, and I just couldn't believe it. I didn't want to believe it. You know, I saw TMZ report it, and I don't want to harp on it. I want to celebrate and just show respect. But just thinking about that moment, same thing, man. I just didn't want to believe it. But I think for us all, too, it was something that we were seeing. Of course, we love basketball, and it was fun to watch Kobe on the court, whether you liked him or not on the court. If you didn't like him, it's probably because he was just torching your squad, you know, but for the better.
100%.
But I think the post playing Kobe was getting really fun to watch, and seeing him coach his daughter, seeing him analyze the game, seeing him be Dad Kobe, you know, that was something fun. It was really fun to see. So, as you said, so much bigger off the court, and not just on the court. Just want to give prayers to the Bryant's family and everyone involved in the tragedy. I did want to ask you, though, what was one great memory that you have for Kobe?
Man, it's definitely a lot. This ain't going to be the one that I, you know, elaborate on, but, like, what I really enjoy, you know, these custom Kobe 8s I made back in high school.
I'm going to say, give a few if you want to, actually.
Shoot, I might as well. Well, yeah, I guess that'd be my first one then. You know, I'll always have them. It was just the first pair of shoes that I ever customized. Had my initials in them and everything. I guess my real best memory would be just watching, like, you know, the hype videos before the season of him, you know, in the off-season training, and watching all the inspirational videos and the motivational talks throughout his career. And just seeing how he really implemented that, like, not only in on the court, but, like, off the court in his regular day life. And it's just something to be studied and admired. And then I guess my honorable mention, just for fun, would be when Matt Barnes, like, pump faked the ball at his face and he didn't even flinch. That was kind of just funny to me, man. It had me geeking. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to start on a lighter note, too. I'm going post-playing Kobe, Dad Kobe, a.k.a. Coach Kobe, when his daughter's team, I believe, lost, like, 22 to it was a close game. Whatever the game was, they lost. He put it on Instagram. And then, next thing you know, he put up an Instagram photo the next year of them beating him by about 80 points. And a lot of people thought that was a little bit extra or over the top, but being the competitor Kobe is, I just thought that was hilarious. And then one of my favorites, of course, is seeing him on Team USA with LeBron, with Carmelo, and all those guys. I think it was just so cool to see, because we always want to compare during the season, during the year, but seeing all those guys come together and play on the same team, I just always thought that was awesome. And most of the time, they were just dominating. So for me, I would say the moments with Team USA was some of the best moments for me on the court, Kobe.
100%, yeah. Team USA, number one, that was a dominant era, man, when they were going with all those legendary players. And, man, those are good memories. It was funny, too. The one post he put where I think the one girl had missed a game because of her dance recital.
Yeah,
he was,
I
like,
that.
You could clearly see where her mind's at.
That's good stuff, man.
Kobe.
And talking about, you know, Team USA and kind of sticking with some basketball here, you know, you got All-Star Weekend coming up. And
yes, sir. Shot down.
You know, home of the mild sauce. I don't know. I think it would be a fun thing because, you know, how they're doing the mock draft, or not the mock draft, like the players get to pick again. So I think it's only right if we do a quick draft for the podcast.
You know, it's crazy, Mom. They literally picked the Eastern and Western teams besides one different star. I was like, come on, LeBron and Giannis. I don't know. I think Team LeBron's got him right now. I don't know if you got to see the roster, but I think so.
Yeah, I didn't get to see all of it. I know I saw Greek Freak talking about he didn't want Harden because he wants somebody to pass the ball. But that's the only part I got to see.
Well, look, let me add in a little extra spice to it. I don't know if it matters because all of them are all-stars for a reason, but let's do that. We're going to do a mock draft. I'll be LeBron, you be Greek Freak. But here's going to be the only difference is that let's base the lineup off you're not allowed to dribble. Let's say there's no dribbling at all. You got to pass, shoot, rebound, all that. No dribbles allowed. I'll let you have first pick because I am LeBron. So, Giannis, you get the first pick. Who are you going to take?
Man, this was tough because I don't know if I want to start off with some range or some length. But if I can get the best of both worlds, I'm going AD. The reason being is because he's got some length. He can guard you. He can shoot the ball. He can dunk. He can grab boards. So I got to pick him up first.
You just didn't want to see me and LeBron AD combo like they've been dominating this year. But I understand it. I'm going the other team in LA. I'm going with the Claw, my Clippers. So I got LeBron and the Claw because he's not going to be on any load management stuff. He's going to defend. He's going to shoot. He's going to do it all, as you know.
Facts. And honestly, now that you're going to leave it on the table, I gotta expand the range, man. I'm going Ice Trader again. Ice Trader again. Trae Young. Light it up from three, man.
That's a good... Actually, with no dribbles, Trae Young's probably a good pick. You know that. He's going to shoot from anywhere.
You know that. Come off a pick. Pop.
I'm taking James Harden because James Harden is going to also shoot from anywhere and everywhere. And you know he's going to make it or he's going to get fouled. So I'm taking Harden.
Remember, you can't dribble.
I got you.
So he's not going to the lane.
I got you. I'm taking Harden, though.
Remember that. Shoot. This one, because I know I want to hit a couple step back so bad, but we can't dribble. So I'm going to go with a guy who can play the post a little bit, who can light it up from three as well, hit some crazy shots. I'm going Luka.
Okay. I'm not mad at
Smokey like some hookah.
I'm not mad at that. I gotta go with my guy, New York's finest, Kemba. Having a great season with the Celtics. Nice mid-range jumper. I'm gonna go with Kemba.
I like that pickup. Well, it's really only a few bigs left. The reason I'm not going with this other one, cause I don't need no controversy. I want somebody just gonna put their head down and just play some good ball. I don't need the antics. Plus, I don't know if that finger's all the way healed, so it might not be able to shoot well. And forgive me if I butcher this name, but I got to go Pascal Siakam.
Siakam. Listen to this guy,
come on, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with. I need some more boards. And some
you don't even deserve
dunks.
Siakam after that. You should get Embiid because I don't want Embiid, but I'll take Embiid, I guess. Depending on when you listen, you can check out the All-Star game, check out All-Star weekend, all that good stuff. That would be our picks, though. And in other NBA news, though, I don't know if you saw this. Harrison Barnes, former champion with the Warriors, he's now been playing for the Kings. Got a nice little contract, but the Kings are 21-32 this year. He made it known that he will not shave or cut his hair until the Kings hit 500 or the season ends. I think he's probably just going to have to wait till the season ends. It was at this
point. Bull going to have dressed by the end of the year.
Kings ain't winning, man. They are not winning. The Kings are just – I feel bad for them because I used to like when they were good. But, yeah, I'm not seeing them get to 500. I'm just not seeing it.
He's going to have straight backs past his lats. But ain't winning nothing. Bull going to look like trials and tribulations after the end of the season. Bull going to look like all my life I had to fight.
Let's move on, though, to college hoops. Like we said, we're West Virginia guys, so – of course, we're going to talk West Virginia hoops. But so far, man, we've been up and down in between the 10 and the 20 range. Haven't been able to crack the top 10 this year. But honestly, man, every team is losing on the road this year. And there's only a few teams that's been kind of standing out to me because everyone just seems to get up close in the polls and then they take an L. But right now, I mean, Gonzaga, depending on what you think about their schedule, San Diego State, of course, has been playing great. But again, who are they really playing? Dayton, you could say the same. And then, of course, our fellow Big 12 guys, Baylor and Kansas, are up in the top three right now. So, I mean, it's still up for grabs. I think this year is one of the first years that I think we don't have too many standout teams. North Carolina, this is the worst North Carolina team we saw in ages, in my opinion. I think it's wide open. I think West Virginia, which we'll get to in a second. But, anything could happen, but give me one team that may not necessarily be your dark horse, but someone that you could see in the Final Four and possibly in the championship this year. Give me one team.
Honestly, if it's not WV, even though, you know, we struggle on the road, you know, anything can happen during the tournament. That's why you play the game at the end of the day and the beginning of the day. I got to go at Louisville. You know, they got Jordan Nwora over there. He's a bucket getter. And that team overall, they got great depth and all around great program. They always do. You know, they're always in the tournament and they always make good runs. And I don't expect anything less this year. And, you know, you got to have a star player, but you got to have great depth, you know, because number one, you're going to have to press a little bit. You're going to have to play a good half court defense. You got to keep some energy. And if you're playing, you know, every other day, every day, practicing, wear and tear on you, you got to have some, you know, people that can be able to step up. And I got to go at Louisville on that one.
It's not a bad pick. I'm going Seton Hall, even though it is more of a dark horse. And even though they just took a bad loss to Creighton, unranked Creighton, I'm still going Seton Hall because of the factor of what you just said. I think having a star player really does help. And I'm very big on Miles Powell, the junior guard from New Jersey. I think he's sensational. And I think having someone like him to be able to close out games, to be able to get your team out of a rut when you're down on an 8-0 swing, because I think basketball, and especially college basketball, is huge on momentum. So to me, I like Seton Hall. They got Gill that protects the rim. They got other guards like McKnight that just know their role. And I think that's a huge thing, is knowing your role. They know Powell's the guy, but they know what they got to do because he's still going to find them. And I like Seton Hall. Scrappy bunch, and like I said, they know their role. So I think Seton Hall is going to make some noise in the tournament. Let's talk a little bit about our Mountaineers again, because this is current time, depending on when you listen, but everyone knows that we did take that tough home loss, the first home loss of the year to Kansas, a game that we were up 9 multiple times. I mean, a game that felt like you could see Kansas inching in for that classic West V meltdown, I guess some would say. But you know, it was a tough loss, but I still think this year has been going great. We're in a little bit of rut. We're in a little bit of slump, but again, if I know this team at all, they're gonna get back up on their feet and strap in here. I do gotta say, Muff, the last like four Wednesdays maybe, West Virginia's played the same time I got my little rec league game, and that's so annoying because my rec league game.
What?
Yeah, I like it. I'm trying to dust off, maybe make a couple buckets myself. So
you better put some WD-40 on your elbows, your knees, dust off, get a Swiffer.
I mean, you know, all I need is one hand. All I need is the left hand. So I mean, that's all. You know,
all you need. That's all you got. Tight, but
that's all I got. But it is what it is. I go to the hole, get a couple easy buckets, and then they say, "Hey, just take away his luff." I'm done for the day.
I got
my action, man. But look, I just hate that. I haven't got to watch the whole games. I've got to watch some of the second halves. But from what I've seen, man, I mean, the turnovers, that was ugly. That was ugly. Everyone could see that if you're watching the game, especially against Kansas. We got to take care of the ball because our best two players, in my opinion, with Oscar and Colin and Derek, someone's got to get in the ball.
And yeah, facts.
Guards got to take care of the ball, man.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, ball security, like, the only time I like turnovers is if they got apples in the middle, not during a basketball game. So that's definitely, like, very frustrating. We have great guards. It's just I feel like sometimes we might get a little too ahead of ourselves. And even when we get ahead of the other team, our problem is really closing the games out. Free throw line, again, turnovers. And then when they, you know, start to inch back, you know, into the game, we need buckets. And I think that's our main thing is, like, we need buckets and we need to just stick to the game plan that we started the game off with.
That's our kryptonite, and I put that a question on Twitter, but who's going to get the buckets for us? Last 10 minutes of the game, I just feel like I could see that Kansas run coming. I saw that corner three. That's the death of West Virginia basketball. That opposing team just loves to knock down a corner three on us, and it just seems like the world is turning upside down. But I say that because we scored 49 points against one of the best defenses in the country, Kansas, that is. But, I mean, 49 points in a game is just crazy. And we got to score it. Shout out to our guy in Reasonable Doubt, Josh Witt. I saw him put this tweet up. Kansas went on an 18-3 run to close the game. That's just insane to me to think about. And I look at that. Who's going to score? And I think it can be committee. Like I said, I don't think we need a star player. But then again, I look and I think there has to be a guy that's not scared to go ahead and put his head down and get to the bucket, get fouled, or be able to hit that shot. And so far for me, man, it's been Miles McBride, the freshman. And I said this earlier, but freshman or not, it don't matter. If you're on the court, it don't matter. You're strapping the shoes up, and I think he's most capable right now to be that guy that's got to make a play because, like I said, a guard's got to step up, and I think McBride could be the one to do that.
Yeah, he's got the quick speed. He's able to, you know, create space. And, you know, when he's hitting, you know, he's going to create space for other guys. You know, when he's driving, they're probably going to collapse in the paint. He can dish it out. And if he's, you know, shooting well, he can stay out there, pump fake, dish it back into him, you know, Culver or Oscar. And that's how we got to play. You know, it starts off with buckets and defense. And I think you're exactly right.
And I know our fan base is a little torn on Jordan McCabe. And to me, he had a great game from what I saw in the playback against Kansas. And at the end, again, we had to take care of the ball, but I do wish that Huggs gave him a little bit of more of a leash. You know, Huggs likes to take him out a little bit early. I would like to see him out on the court because I do think he's a floor general. But it is just comes down to that we got to hit shots.
Yeah, facts. I think, you know, definitely if we can keep feeding the bigs early, get them involved early, let them do what they do, you know, work in the paint, score, get to the basket, get on the boards, that opens up the floor for everybody else. And we got plenty of wings and guards that can shoot the ball.
Yeah, and like I said, we're recording this midweek, so we'll jump back on next week and give some more insight. And there's a couple big games coming up, so we'll be able to talk more about that. Huh. I know that you were really excited to get on here and talk your favorite section, the food section. Tell me a little bit about All-Star Weekend and what we can expect out there in Chi-Town.
Man, I saw a whole bunch of stuff, and some of it was sounding a little foreign to me, so you know I'm going to have to research it. And definitely make it myself, because that's just what I do. But some of the crazy things I've seen was some tacos, nachos, cheesesteaks. I'm going to run through a few of them that I wrote down. So one of them just sounded absolutely crazy, right? Super Nacho Surf and Turf. So I guess they had a whole bunch of chips on the plate, topped with lobster, ribeye, Texas chili,
okay,
homemade seafood bisque, cheese sauce. Not just seafood bisque, not just cheese sauce, seafood bisque cheese sauce. You had me there.
Hey, that's just adding the extra $7 on the top there.
Man, you could make it $8. I'm going to try that joint. Please, seafood bisque me, please. Then they threw the sour cream on there, cilantro crema, and some green onions. I'm like, oh my goodness, that joint has got to get done, and it's going to get $8. Then I saw, sticking with the theme, some pan-seared Gulf shrimp tacos, had some warm corn tortillas, chile de arbol sauce, and scalloped jalapeno slaw. Mm. Now, if the slaw had mayo in it, you can keep the whole dish.
Keep it.
But if it didn't, I'm rocking with it. One of the others, though, that just really caught my attention was this barbecue brisket stack, right? So they had a slab of sweet cornbread, not a pan, a slab. Do you know what a slab is?
It's marketing. That's what it is. Because you know it's not going to be much.
Of sweet cornbread, slow smoked brisket, spicy homemade barbecue sauce, topped with a creamy jalapeno cilantro slaw. Again,
it's about to be some sweet baby rays. Go ahead, though.
If that meal's in there, you can throw the dish away. But if it ain't, see! Plate me, please. I might throw another one in there just because I'm still hungry thinking about it. It was a giant Texas cheesesteak topped with red jalapenos, pepper jack cheese, barbecue aioli, and homemade barbecue potato chips. What sandwich isn't good with potato chips? None. None of them.
That was the way to go growing up.
Especially after the swimming pool, mm-hmm, or you hopping out the ocean. Jiminy Christmas, boy. Oh, my goodness. I got to get out of here.
Oh, and just a side note, Dame Dalla's gonna, even though Damian Lillard can't play in the All-Star game because he is injured, he is performing at halftime. So check that out.
I need that rap battle with him and Shaq. Live. I need that.
Shaq won't do it, man.
Yeah. We'll see, though.
I'll tell you why, though, because Shaq is now got his Papa John's going. You know, he's on TNT. He's got a lot more stuff going on now.
Oh, that's true.
And I do got to throw this out there because it has been some quite time, but Papa John, after whatever happened with the company, Papa John said he ate 40 pizzas in 30 days. and said it was awful. We said the recipe got bad. And now we come to find out he actually didn't eat 40 pizzas. I was going to ask you if you think you're capable of eating 40 Papa John pizzas in 30 days.
I cannot. I will be backed up after day 4. I'm going to have to get all that cheese surgically removed out my body. I'm calling Doc up and hopefully my insurance covers it. No way. And even after that, I'm probably going to get tired of it after like the first week. There's only so much pizza you can take in a month, really.
Yeah, 40 full pizzas is insane.
No, sir. Not me.
Musically, man, before we hop off here, because we do want to keep this week's a little bit shorter, get this out to you guys. What have you been listening to lately?
Honestly, lately, I've been listening to more like house electronic music. Also some alternative rap, you could say. Just like different beats, like outer spacey type of vibes with some hard bass lines over it.
So you've been on the YouTube lo-fi 24/7 YouTube station.
You can say that.
Huh?
You can say that.
I'm not making fun of you. I like those. They're very good to just hang out with and just have in the background. I think so. I like them.
They really are. I've been listening to them when I wake up in the morning just to kind of like ease into my day. And then once I'm like, all right, it's time to go, I just hop right into my trap music so I can get some energy going. And then, you know what I mean, really run it up. What you been listening to?
A little bit of everything. I'll come back next week with some good stuff. We got to do some reviews next week for sure, as we were doing. But no, I want to see if any of our followers listen to those YouTube channels, or they're on Spotify too. But what are they? Lo-fi, jazz, things to study to. There's 24/7. Let us know if you do. I'm interested by that because I think they're pretty nice. They're nice background music. If you don't want to hear lyrics and you just want a nice beat to hang out with, I like them. I like those.
Yeah, or if you just freestyle in your head, it's nice to get those going.
Yeah. Teach them.
Muffin Man type beat.
I think that's all for today, though. Like I said, we'll talk a lot more music next week. We'll be doing some of our reviews. We're going to keep some new stuff coming along. But we didn't even say what episode number is this. I can't. 57, 58, something like that? We've been in the 50s forever, man. We got to get out. We got to level up real quick. What number is this?
Honestly, I think it's 57. I want to say it's 57.
We'll go 57. If it's not, it's 58.
If it ain't, it's 59. It's one of them.
But I can say, man, it's been fun to get back on here with you. Looking forward to next week. You can hold us to that. First time listeners, again, we appreciate you. Hopefully you made it this far. And day one listeners, as always, you guys always show support. And when we're gone, you ask when we're coming back. So that means the world to us and gives us more motivation to get back on here and just kick the stuff. So we appreciate you. We hope you guys have a great week. Make sure to play this. Make sure to show a friend. All that good stuff. Muff, do you want to close with anything before we hop off episode, the hybrid episode 57, 58, 59? We don't know which one it is, but
yeah, man, keep the positivity rolling. Wake up every day. Go get it. Drink your orange juice. If you ain't drinking orange juice, you better be drinking a fruit smoothie. Get you some good energy during the day. Stay hydrated. Make sure you get some well rest, good sleep. Run it up. Run some bands up. Save up. Invest. Do what you got to do, man. It's episode 57, 58, 59. It's Day One of the Lights Out of Friends podcast. Cause...